The healing power of music has been known to us for centuries. Across the globe, every culture has its own unique sound and style of music that unites, revives, and awakens us. A new film by Cincinnati-born documentarian Maiko Rosato Bennett chronicles the experience of individuals who suffer from various forms and stages of dementia, but who have been revitalized through the simple experience of listening to music. Alive Inside is described as a joyous cinematic exploration of music's capacity to reawaken our souls and uncover the deepest parts of our humanity. The project is a collaboration of talents from the world of music, social work, and neuroscience. The film, which received the Audience Award at the 2014 Sundance Film Festival, is coming to Cincinnati for special screening events which feature in-person Q&A sessions with the filmmakers. I had the opportunity to speak by phone with Maiko Rosato Bennett to find out more about the Alive Inside project. Well, Maiko, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
How could I not speak to you? You're Cincinnati. You're my hometown.
Help me understand the scope of this project, Alive Inside. How did you first become aware of this topic of dementia and how music can connect with these individuals?
People ask me that all the time, and I would love to say that, you know, this was started out as a passion project from the very beginning, but it didn't. I am a filmmaker, and I was sort of hired to help to build a website, actually, for a guy, and he dragged me into a nursing home. And I thought it was going to be one of the worst jobs I'd ever taken because, you know, I walked into these, I don't know if you've ever been in these large public nursing homes, but they can be very, very sad places. I saw literally hundreds of people as I walked in lined up against the wall in wheelchairs, and they were not here. They were gone. And I set up my cameras and, you know, this guy, Dan, had told me that, you know, they had just found music for this one gentleman named Henry, and they pulled him off of that line of people and put him in this room with me, and we gave him his music, and it was Cab Calloway. And this is a man who, you know, has basically had his head slumped into his chest for, you know, 8 or 9 years, and he was very uncommunicative. But then when the music kind of hit his ears, it's just, you know, I watched this human being kind of bubble back into life, into, you know, I could see like things firing in his head, and he started talking to me and singing to me, and the difference for me between, you know, where he had been lost in his dementia and where he was when he was inside his music was just, I had chills up and down my body, and I was actually had tears in my eyes, and I was just like, this is it. I'm sorry. If I can help in any way make people go from one state to another, I have to do this. This project is waiting for me. I'm the person that can tell this story. You know, I had a lot of I shut down myself when I was young, and you know, I've worked my life to open myself back up to life, and the idea that I could help people. I mean, you know, it's such a huge problem. If you've ever had anybody in your life who gets overtaken by dementia, it's an epic experience for everyone involved, and it can be very hard, and there's no good news in this area. And so the feeling that, you know, as I went got deeper and deeper, the idea that we have some good news to share about the care for people with Alzheimer's, saying good news for caregivers, good news for institutions, you know, and actually the implications of the whole process of giving people their music from their youth, just, you know, it has tremendous ramifications. It can be used to reduce the use of antipsychotic medications in these institutions, and this is a huge problem. You have a lot of people in a small space, and if anybody's upset, it ruins the experience for everybody, so they drug them. And it's pretty standard, and the government doesn't even want this. And what we've discovered is that, you know, the use of personalized music can comfort people in a profound way and reduce the need for antipsychotic medications. It's much more than we originally thought, and it's literally changing life for hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, by the time we're done.
This facility that you speak of, was it in New York City?
It was in New York City, yeah. It was in Long Island.
One of the things you also mentioned on your website and in some of the connected websites to this project is how these individuals not only deal with these circumstances surrounding their dementia, but that they also rarely, if ever, get any visitors from their family.
Right. And that's so true. It's so sad. Look, you know, that's why one of the things that I want to have happen out of this was I want to create a real volunteer movement, because, like, I had such a life-changing experience helping somebody find their music, helping somebody wake up. I want to share that experience. I want other people to experience it. And the benefit of that is it'll mean that more people in these institutions get visitors. You know, we are scared. We're very frightened of dementia. I was. I had no clue what was really going on in these people before I started this project. And what I learned in making the film, and what you'll see in the film, is a real mind shift for anybody who goes through the experience of the film or goes through the experience like I have of bringing people the music that can kind of wake them up a bit. And, you know, what we learned was it's amazing that basically their short-term memory is gone. Much of their memory is gone. A lot of their faculties are gone. But what remains, and what remains incredibly profound, is their ability to experience pleasure in music, their ability to experience music. So I think the big shift that this film and this movement are trying to do is to help people be less afraid by giving them a mode of entry, a way of communicating, a way of giving. Because that's the greatest fear I think people have. You know, I don't want to go visit my grandma. She doesn't even recognize me. Why should I even go? You know, the sad truth is they don't recognize your name, but they feel you. That's what I learned making this film, is how profoundly alive their emotional sense is, people with dementia, with Alzheimer's. And not in everybody, but in a huge number of people.
Well, that's something I was hoping to get at, is that maybe with these individuals becoming more alive, much more aware, much more present, then maybe their family and their loved ones are more apt to go visit them.
Well, I mean, yes. And that's my dream. And that's why, you know, we're setting out this whole outreach program to try and go into schools and universities and really just to get people to see the film, because the film is sort of a mind-changing event, especially if you have anyone connected with dementia, or, you know, just, or even if you're aging. I mean, the largest population in the United States is heading towards elderhood, and it's the baby boomers. And the baby boomers, I don't believe, are going to allow the conditions that exist in nursing homes to exist for them. They're just too strong a group, I think. That's my hope. And so, you know, this is a conversation that has to happen now. We're working with, you know, the National Alzheimer's Association. We're talking to AARP. We're talking to, you know, universities and schools all over the country. We want to create a conversation. I think that's part of what needs to happen, the conversation about aging and our fears of it and its gifts. That's the strangest thing, is that aging and elderhood actually have gifts, but we are so frightened of the topic that we don't even want to, you know, address what those might be.
As a filmmaker, there's a couple of things that I'm curious about as the person behind the camera in these circumstances. Was there ever a time that you felt that you were being invasive into these very personal and emotional moments?
You know, that is so interesting. And the answer is is no, which is very rare. As a documentary filmmaker, you're always treading this line between whether or not you're being invasive or not. And the interesting thing about this project is that I never, ever had that feeling, because I think everyone I was filming who was sort of having some success with this, you know, really just wanted to share this success for the literally millions of people who have no clue that there is anything that works that can give people with dementia additional pleasure in life. I mean, you know, quite literally, there are drugs, but they really do not work. They don't do very much. There's we sedate people, we reduce their aliveness, but there is no drug that does what music does. There's no drug that awakens the heart and the soul of a human being like music does. And the other piece of the puzzle was, you know, I was there filming. I mean, the camera is an eye, you know, and these people didn't have, first of all, the part of their mind that is their guile, is their suspicion, is their distrust, you know, it's kind of gone, you know, and there was a kind of an innocence in the relationship. And my camera was it was an eye. I was there, and these people don't get visitors. So there was an attitude, actually, on their part. They saw the camera as a caring being. And, you know, I felt like we were. We were bringing them the music of their youth, and we were attention to them, and we were searching in their eyes and their hearts for life. You know, they were happy. I didn't feel invasive at all.
And because this is a documentary film, you don't get second takes.
No.
Were there many challenges where you were in a moment and you knew that you had to get this special one of a kind, you know, capture it in the moment?
You know, as a documentarian, you find that all the time. I was joking to a friend of mine yesterday. I said, you know, the two best documentary films I've ever seen in my life have been happening in front of my eyes for the last 6 months, and I haven't been able to lift a camera. You know, I have friends dealing with illness and divorce, and I have a friend, you know, dealing with mental illness, and I watched these amazing things that I couldn't film, you know, because I would be invasive. There's no way to enter those situations for me without being invasive. But that's much different than this. You know, there's a gift to this film. People have to come see it because, you know, I think by accident, I've sort of shown something that we've never seen before. I don't think anybody has ever really pointed a camera at this moment in human experience. And if you see this film, you'll see. It's why it won the Audience Award at Sundance, and it won Sedona, and it won Provincetown and Berkshire and Calgary and Fort Myers. You know, it won a lot of awards because it touches you in a kind of... I still don't even understand how it... the way it touches you, but it does. It speaks to something that we need to talk about and we need to experience. And it's a very real experience because there is no guile left in these human beings. They are sort of pure human souls. And it's a very beautiful thing to see, a human in their emotion, in their aliveness. I think that's all we ever wish for as fathers or mothers or teachers. You know, we want to see the people that we're connecting with. We want to see them become what they can be, you know, even if they don't have a lot to start with. You know, just the moving towards something and the succeeding is very beautiful.
Well, seeing the clips that are just in the trailer, the absolute unabashed joy that you see on these people's faces when they first...
It's like so heartbreaking because some of these people, like, they have such a hard time navigating life. And yet, when you give them their music, they don't have a hard time navigating in their music. And I've seen people go from just angst and unhappiness to pure joy. And, you know, it's a great gift to experience that. I mean, life is hard enough for everybody, you know, like, to see moments of sort of victory, of finding life and love. This is the stuff we live for as humans, I'm afraid.
How did you end up choosing what music these people are going to be experiencing?
Well, we talked to their families. Some of them could speak to us and tell us what they liked, and we found that, and it's, you know, one of the women in the film as a caregiver, her name is Yvonne, and she sits down with six elders who have no capacity for even speech, and she just makes a graph on her page, and she starts playing music, and when somebody responds, she puts a check mark. Oh, you know, that guy and that guy like the Andrews Sisters. Oh, this one and that one like Frank Sinatra. You know, it's kind of at some point very far down in these diseases, especially if you don't have family to tell you what they like, it becomes a detective.
Seeing the emotion on these individuals' faces, there's a very subconscious, very subtle connection to the person that they used to be.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, interestingly enough, I sometimes do this with people when I talk. If, like, I do it with your viewers, you know, you close your eyes right now. And if I ask you, I say, go back into the past. Go back to when you were, whatever, 5, 10, 20, you know, and find a moment where you were listening to music that you remember. Remember to listening to music back way back when. And if I give you 10 seconds, you'll come up with a memory, and you'll remember a song, and you'll remember a place, and you'll remember what you were wearing or who you were with. And it's a kind of access to memory that is actually staggering. It's incomparable to other ways of accessing memory. You know, if I said right now, okay, go back to when you were 9 and give me a memory. You know, if you're lucky, you're going to pull one back and, you know, but I don't know. But if I say, give me a memory of you listening to music when you were young, and one comes up, it's going to come up in an incredibly engaging way. It's going to touch all your senses. And that's what we're playing with here. It's just this miracle called music.
I want to take a shift for a second to a slightly lighter tone. As you said, your film has won several awards and has been receiving a lot of acclaim. You did get the Sundance Audience Award, but you almost didn't even submit this film to Sundance.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I'm kind of excited about coming home to Cincinnati with my brother, who's the composer of the film. And he, you know, when he won a Grammy for the song he wrote for Smooth, you know, all of Cincinnati, like the Inquirer wrote a huge full-page article on him. And I'm coming back with me and my brother. You know, I hope to hell Cincinnati comes out and says hi to us, because we're coming, just, you know, we haven't been home in a long time, so we're excited about this. And, you know, and my other brother did the graphics, and, you know, my two brothers went to Walnut Hills, and I went to UC, and my other brother went to UC. So I'm just saying it's a family thing. But you were right. I almost didn't submit it because, you know, making a film is expensive and it's hard work. And I honestly, you know, Sundance, I said to my wife, I said, why should we submit to Sundance? You know, it's $100. I'm kind of broke right now. And they're not going to want to see a movie about old people. They're not going to care about dementia. They want to hear about young people in love driving cars with guns. You know? So anyway, but so my wife said, do it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so I wrapped everything up, and this was the last day. I mean, ultimate procrastination. It was literally the last hour. And I went to the FedEx office, and it was closed. And so I came home, and I was like, see, it's not meant to be. And we just watched TV, and then my wife was like, wait a minute, the 34th Street post office, that's open till midnight, let's go there. And I was like, what, it's 11:30, there's no way we can. And then she was like, well, we'll take a car. I was like, are you crazy? We'll lose our parking spot. This is New York City. She's like, well, tell her, let's go. Anyway, it was just some crazy race, and we literally raced, and then we got stuck in traffic, and I had to run and climb those big stairs, and literally they were closing those huge bronze doors just as I hit the stairs, and I dove in through it, and I got it in the spot, and I forgot about it. And, you know, 2 months later, they invited us to Sundance, and it was, that, to tell you the truth, that was the biggest victory, perhaps, of my life. So, you know, to be accepted to Sundance. Something like 12,000 films are submitted, and they pick 16 for documentary competition, you know. So it was a great... great honor and a great, it was an unbelievable honor.
Has there been enough time since the presentation of this film for you to notice any significant change in the healthcare industry?
Absolutely, which is so crazy. Me working in my little bedroom making this film, Dan Cohen, this little guy laboring, just trying to bring iPods to nursing homes. Because of the film and because of the sort of the viral attention that this story has gotten, we have literally made an enormous impact. We started, Dan was giving music to 4 institutions. Now we're at 650.
Wow.
And we're probably going to hit 1,000 by the end of the year. But more than that, like this idea that this population deserves some attention, that it is not right to see them as beings that are not alive, that don't have pleasure. And, you know, when something this small and this cheap and this simple can have such a profound effect, it's a call to action. And it's a very simple call to action. You know, if anybody on any of your listeners want to help, they can go to aliveinside.us and they can, you know, sign up. We're going to be going into schools and institutions. They can go to musicandmemory.org and they can send Dan their iPods or send him some money, and it'll all go to these people in these institutions. You know, he has on his website a PDF you can download, how to find music for your elders. It's a solution for an enormous problem, and you don't get that very often in the world today, you know? Like global warming. What really can one do? You know, change a light bulb, really? Is that going to make you feel like you've changed something? No, but you can literally change a life here in a very simple way. And that's a very rare moment for a filmmaker and just for us as people.
It's simple, and it doesn't take much time, it doesn't take much money, and the results are absolutely immediate.
Yeah, right. And you know, it raises an important question, you know, how in God's name did we get to a place where, you know, a little bit of music can make such a difference in somebody's life? You know, the reason it makes such a difference is because a lot of these people are very alone. A lot of these people, we're scared of them. It is a terrifying condition, but it's not one that can be ignored. The people with Alzheimer's will double in the next 10, 15 years. And it means this is something that cannot be ignored. We cannot do things as we have been doing them. We just don't have the money to do that. And we have to find ways of helping people that wake the best in all of us, that wake our own love and our own liveliness. And I think that's why this is such a beautiful project and why I'm so excited. And, you know, my brother and I, we're flying, my brother's flying out today, I'm flying out tomorrow, and we hope to see everybody, and we want to hear your story.
Well, Michael, thank you very much for making this very powerful and emotional film and for bringing it to Cincinnati.
Thank you. Great. I'm very excited. I'm going to see people I haven't seen since college. It's going to be great.
Alive Inside can be seen at the Marymount Theater September 26th through October 2nd and at the Kenwood Theater on September 25th. There will be special in-person Q&A sessions with the filmmakers at the Marymount Theater on September 26th and 28th and at the Kenwood Theater on the 25th. A portion of the proceeds from that evening's event will benefit the Alzheimer's Association Greater Cincinnati Chapter and the Alive Inside Project. For WVXU's Local Exposure, I'm Jim Nolan.